The following podcast was recorded during a session at the Climate Justice Coalition's gathering, which took place in May 2024. In it, Francina from the Waterberg Women's Advocacy Organization facilitates a People's Power panel discussion with Tandi Tess from Bochabelo Unemployed Movement, Brighton from New Climate Vision, Priyanka from Green Connection, and Mamtumeka from Sinetemba Women's Organization. Francina and the panelists speak about what people's power means to them and what a people's power movement could look like. This discussion takes place in the context of the coordinated people's power marches that happened in March across the country. On the 20th and the 21st of March, CJC members and partners marched with communities and workers across the Free State, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Gauteng for the right to clean, affordable, and reliable electricity. The action was prompted by non-stop blackouts in the country, which have left the most vulnerable in our society to unbearable conditions where simple aspects of life, like cooking and commuting, are impossible. Those actions and the People Power Movement are part of ongoing struggles by ordinary people living in South Africa, demanding the government's urgent response to the country's energy and climate crisis.
We are on the graveyard session.
Sure.
But this panelist of mine, they will make us awake. It's time for us to talk about people's power. What is people's power? The panel will talk and give us their inputs, and then after the inputs, then we take it back to you there so that you can also give inputs. It's not about them, but it's all about us.
They are going to
start a discussion about the people's power. Welcome my panel. I will give each to say a bit who they are and where they come from.
Dumelang hape. Now my name is Tandi Wechaka from Free State in an organization called Bochabelo Unemployed Movement.
My name is Brighton Piri. I'm from the Northwest province in a small town called Klerksdorp. I'm representing New Climate Vision, and I'm excited to be here.
Hi, everyone. I'm Priyanka Naidu. I'm a legal advisor at the Green Connection.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tumeka Magwanqana. I'm coming from Sinetemba Women's Organization in Marikana, the place of crisis, Northwest.
Okay. Thank you. You have heard my panel. And I have questions here that we'll be talking about, and there are three questions. And the reason of this is that we did have that march that happened on the 20th and then also on the 21st. That was all about the integrated resource plan and also communities raising their voice on the energy that needs to be used as energy that is community-owned, and also saying no to the IRP that says we're still going to have the load shedding the coming 5 years. And now we are talking about the people's power. And my first question is, what does people's power mean to you? And what would you like to see as a priority for the Climate Justice Coalition People's Power campaign? Over to you.
For me, people's power means to, means we as the movement from different grassroots organizations, we have to be united
And we have to stand together and fight for the renewable green energy. By mobilizing and organizing ourselves in the community.
Okay, it says, what does people's power mean to you? And what would you like to see as a priority for the Climate Justice Coalition's People's Power campaign?
I would like to see, as a priority, I would like to see CJC prioritizing the people's power to be a campaign, maybe, or which will continue for a long time.
Thank you. Over to you, Brighton.
Yeah, for me, it goes back to communities. We believe in the bottom-up approach. We believe in empowering societies and communities. So the paradigm has to shift from policies that are designed up there and then they are forced onto people. We have seen the problem with Komati. We've seen that solutions are created but they're not tailor-made to suit communities and the crisis that communities are facing. So it has to be a paradigm that includes people, not only just consult, but involve people in the processes. It also means observing procedural justice when we are designing policies, when we are designing solutions for communities. So basically it means we're going back to communities. Every step of any policy should refer to people, should involve people, should make sure societies are heard. People's voices should be heard. I think in short for now. Let me just say that.
Yeah. Over to you, Priyanka.
Thank you. So I'm going to borrow some words from Amartya Sen, who described democracy as a demanding system. And when I think of people's power, I think of that demanding system. And I think we have a really wonderful example of that today at outside the Supreme Court of Appeal in Bloemfontein. There are communities from the Wild Coast, both in and outside the court, demanding for their rights to be upheld and demanding for their voices to be heard. And I think that is a great example of how the linkages of struggles of people working sort of within the space who are anti-offshore oil and gas or people who are in the climate justice movement. I think that is a great example of how people have come together and really shown what the value of mobilization and power is and what that can achieve. And I think in terms of priorities for us is definitely to continue linking struggles and continue finding ways to find each other within the space.
Thank you, Priyanka. Over to you, Mom Tumeka.
Do you remember another year when there was a lot of rain? In Mozambique, there was a woman that gave birth while was on the tree. When I'm thinking of climate justice, I just always think of that woman. And we never told that how old is the child now and how is that woman doing. We need to be equipped about the things that are happening to other countries.
Thank you, Mom Tumeka. Sure. The second question is all about building on the People's Power marches against the flawed IRP. What would a People's Energy Plan look like for you?
I think People's Energy Plan should prioritize on renewable energy sources. The community, the community-owned project. kore disketsa onwa ke di private companies le bona ba be le matla. They should have power and they should have energy access and affordable marginalized.
When I think about your question, for me, I think about, you know, we are in a state of crisis. We're in a climate crisis. And, you know, the IRP has to reflect that we are in a state of a crisis. It also means that it has to show the urgency for us to move towards renewables. There's a lot of inconsistency when you look at the policies. I was reading a report just yesterday. It's saying that South Africa is coming up with a new schedule for the decommissioning of plants. You notice that at one time, it's like there's urgency to retire the coal plants. The next moment, the IRP is saying something that's in opposite direction. So that inconsistency is not showing the state of crisis that we are in. If we're saying we're in a climate crisis, it means that consistently there has to show in the policy to say we are moving towards this direction. We are moving against coal, and that should be consistent. But we don't see that now. When we talk about the just energy transition, when the just energy transition partnerships were announced, we felt that, you know, there's going to be some progress. But 3 years down the line, we don't see that. So the IRP has to show that we need to urgently move towards renewables. We need to think about communities that are suffering from, you know, respiratory problems. We need to think about communities that are, you know, on the ground, that are exposed, you know, to the fossil fuel industry. You know, we need to think about, you know, their rights. We need to think about, you know, their daily lives, their struggles, their, you know, their daily struggles. Because when we forget about those people, we only think about policy that is, you know, not connected to the realities on the ground.
So I think a lot of us have been involved in the draft IRP process and commenting, and I think the one thing we can all agree on is that it's most definitely not a people's IRP. It's incredibly flawed. It doesn't address any of the problems such as load shedding, which it predicted to be with us until the next, I think it was 6 years from now, despite load shedding and our electricity crisis impacting every single person in this country and impacting people who are on the margins even more. So I wrote down 4 points of what I think a people's energy plan should look like. So I said that it essentially would mean an electricity generation plan that would not increase the pollution of our air, water, or deprive people of land. A plan that is also affordable for marginalized and vulnerable communities. A plan that creates sustainable, safe, and healthy jobs. And also electricity plan that will address our climate crisis.
As we are not working and we are not getting any salary, but at the end of the day, we must feed our children and our households. I think as we are here, we must be empowered. Ngendlela yokuthi sikwazi ukufuna funds, sikwazi ukufunda ukuzenzela, because alikho ixesha lokuthi sizayofundiswa kayikayi unless the NGOs are helping us, but nabo ekugqibeleni zizophela funds. Kodwa if in our groups or in our organizations we are empowered to do or to deal about the energy crisis, I think isn't a zizo chinja. Yo. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama Tumeka. The last question, what would it mean or look like to you for a government to truly reflect people's power and to be governed by and for the people?
for a government to truly reflect people's power and be governed by and for the people, it will be like accountability and responsibility in governance. Prioritizing of people needs into and interest over corporate profits. And other, it will be, yeah, a representative leadership that reflects the diversity of the population.
Thank you. Brighter?
Yeah, like I mentioned, it basically means people's views, people's voices are reflected in the policies. We when we look at the Just Energy Transition partnership, you notice there was rash decisions to embrace the partnerships, but after a while we noticed that, you know, it was more complicated than that. Then the government agencies start coming back to people to consult people, and then it gets even more complicated because, you know, as the people's voices have to be heard, it complicates whatever they agreed to. So those are some of the things that have to be avoided. When we're talking about people power, when we're talking about, you know, reflection of people, it means that, you know, people have to be consulted first. Communities have to be heard first. You know, policies can't be rushed. Deals can't be rushed into. So it goes back to people's voices. It goes back to, you know, people's rights. It goes back to, you know, inclusivity. It goes back to procedural justice. Yeah, basically.
Thank you. Over to Priyanka.
Yeah, I think I definitely echo the sentiments of my other panelists. I think transparency was obviously a very big issue with the last IRP. There, even energy experts, which I am not one of, looked at sort of the numbers and the cost estimates and couldn't understand how government had got to where it had got. And that is confusing for the wider public, who then has to trust that this is correct or that it's accurate and that the government's acting in the interest of the people who have elected it. So I definitely think transparency is a major thing. And also, I think definitely procedural justice issues. But consultation has also become some sort of a tick box exercise with this government. It is absolutely horrific, the way that they are going about a lot of consultation processes. The IRP, despite it being flawed, still has not been rerun. We still have not seen what an updated version of it looks like. I think it then sort of makes the voices of mining impacted communities in particular even more marginalized, and the impacts that, you know, whatever chosen energy pathway that our government's currently going down on, it then excludes the most impacted people. So I think in terms of transparency and accountability, that needs to be reflected.
Thank you, Priyanka. Mam Tumeka.
I'm thinking our government doesn't know our work on the ground, or they know, they make as if they don't know. And if they know, they change all what we are doing on the ground and make as if it's their struggle. It's not. Gandhi, it's not. It's our, I mean, as and make as if it's their struggle. The activists are working far more than the government. If we can change and say all the activists must be on the must be working in the government sectors, the activists will win and they will do greater than the government. Thank you.
Thank you. From the questions that we have talked about, is there anything that you need to add that you think we didn't ask a question? Your last words, so that we can pass it to other people to contribute to the topic.
For me, I would say when we go back to the IRP plan, you will notice that the energy mix that's being proposed is still not showing that we need to urgently go towards renewables. I think that becomes a problem when we look at, like I mentioned, the problems that societies are facing. We are in a climate crisis. The IRP has to show that we're in a crisis. It also has to, you know, take consideration of the societal problems that we have. I think she also mentioned that the issue of jobs. We have to look at how the plan can create jobs. I'm from the Northwest Province, and I tell you that, you know, over 56% of young people are unemployed. So when you look at the IRP plan, it has to be able to address that. It has to have a plan for young people to have jobs. It has to look at, you know, capacitating industries that are in the renewable sector value chain. Because at this moment, we are only talking about moving towards renewables, but we're not looking at the, you know, capacitating industries so that, you know, there's creation of jobs. So as long as it's not addressing, you know, the problems that societies are having in South Africa, then it's irrelevant. It's not a plan that we can embrace.
Maybe I just want to add that I think the IRP process and the draft IRP is definitely one thing in the long list of governance issues in this country. So I'm sure you all know that the government hasn't actually done a proper IEP, so an integrated energy plan. And then the IRP is a sort of sub plan of that. And without knowing what's in the bigger picture, you can't really do the smaller picture. And so the whole sort of domino effect of poor governance sort of comes all the way down there. But one thing I do want to encourage people to do, which my organization has done and was actually quite useful, is to have bilateral meetings with the DMRE. So this is different to just attending the public forum where they give general presentations, because in a bilateral, which is just you and someone from the DMRE, usually an energy planner if it's about the IRP, you're able to ask more pointed questions and to also understand what their thinking is and how they got to that process. And I think the more people who seem interested in the inner workings of this process, I think the more the DMRE might actually take a bit seriously public consultations and the way they publish information or share information. So that is something that they are open to. I will give them that. So yeah, I just want to encourage other organizations who maybe also just want to understand more. That is something to do.
Just to add as well, when communities or the civil society is involved, it means that it reduces the risk that you come up with a document or the government comes up with a document that we later reject. But if the process, like what she's mentioning, if the process is inclusive, it means that the end product is going to reflect the views of different stakeholders, including civil society. So I'm just echoing what she's saying, that the process has to be transparent and inclusive so that the end product already, we will know what's in the document. Thank you.